Into the Word of God. In. Yes.
Amen.
Chapter 1. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look at the first 9. We've already kind of touched on verse 10 down. We're going to look at the first 9 verses. We'll be kind of sharing on this whole first chapter. Yes, chapter 1. Reads. A couple pages. Turn. It reads. Now it took place in the days of Ahasuerus, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. In those days, as King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne, which was at the citadel in Susa, in the 3rd year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his princes and attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of his provinces being in his presence. And he displayed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his great majesty for many days, 180 days. When these days were completed, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days for all the people who were present at the citadel in Susa, from the greatest to the least, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were hangings of fine writing, violet linen, held by cords of fine purple linen, on silver rings and marble columns, in couches of gold and silver, on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stone. Drinks were served in golden vessels of various kinds, and the royal wine was plentiful, according to the king's bounty. The drinking was done according to the law. There was no compulsion, for so the king had given orders to each official of his household that he should do according to the desires of each person. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the palace which belonged to the king Ahasuerus. Amen.
All right.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now today after the couple of sermons, to kind of set it up and give you the beginning and the end. We're going to kind of start to fill in this book of Esther. Amen. Now, there one of the peculiar things about the book of Esther, I think I may have already told you this, but you won't find God reference or God's name in the book of Esther.
Yeah.
It may be one of two books like that. Some say Song of Solomon, but there is one verse in Song of Solomon where it talks about the flames. Mm-hmm. And in the original, I believe it says the flames of Jah, which is Jah meaning Jehovah. But mostly, not only is the name of God not in Esther, but so many things that we're familiar with as we study Scripture. There is no mention of faith, the law of Moses, prayer. There's no mention of those things in Esther. Esther is kind of a secular book. Some have said that Esther may not even belong in the canon of Christian scripture. But I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, even though in God's name is not there.
Come on now.
God is there.
Yeah, right. He's representing. Amen. Amen.
It's like, you know, if you ever look at one of the CSI shows, crime scene investigation shows, and the crime is over, the person is not there. But when they investigate and look closely,
right.
You see some fingerprints.
Right.
Are y'all with me so far?
Amen.
Well, Esther, even though we don't see the name of God, but we see the fingerprints of God.
Right.
Because there ain't nobody got fingerprints like God. There's some things that only God can do.
Yes.
And seeing the fingerprints of God, you're seeing the hand of God.
Yes.
Hand of God is prevalent throughout the book of Esther.
Yes.
I gave a theme of this that I want us to, it's called growing eyes to see the hand of God. Because I think if we can become so spiritually sensitive that we can see God at work. Now, especially as He's working. And sometimes, when you can't see His hand, you gotta trust His heart.
Yes. Right. My Lord, say that.
Because His hand is, it's seem better when things are over. You get that 20/20 hindsight. You look back. It's all gone. Oh. You may not be able to see it with God as it's happening, but sometimes when it's all over, you look back and see God's been here. When you do your CSI, it's not a crime scene, but it's a creator scene investigation.
Yes.
Because it wasn't a crime committed, but the creator has been there.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when you have that kind of sensitivity, sometimes you can even sense Him before
Amen.
It's over.
Amen.
That's kind of what I want you to learn to do. Because when you sense Him at work, it takes the weight off of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes when we don't sense Him at work, when we can't see Him, we try to handle something that we were never meant to handle.
That's it.
Amen.
We try to handle it because we feel like God is absent, it seems to us. And we say, well, I got to do this on my own. Big mistake.
Amen.
Big mistake. So I need you to be able to sense, okay, I'm in the middle of this, but I see Him at work. I see His hand. Some things are happening. And every time things happen like this, I know it's the hand of God at work. So even though we don't see God, we don't see His name, we don't see prayer, we don't see a mention of faith, we don't see any of these things, God is there. Now listen here. Another thing we don't see in the book of Esther is a miracle.
Okay.
Listen here. Listen to me closely. God in Esther is not in the miracle, but in the providential. This is an important point. This is probably the most important point of the message. He's not in the miracle. In Esther, you don't see seas opening.
Right.
You don't see the sun standing still.
All right.
Not, you don't see manna falling from the sky. You don't see great walls falling down. Not in Esther. You don't see any of these kind of great miracles where God intervenes to a point that he changes nature. He interrupts nature and acts and does things that are against nature. You don't see that in the book of Esther. But you do, you know what you do see? He's providential. What do you mean by providential, Pastor? I wrote this down. It's the foreseeing guidance of God, divine guidance and care. God is guiding and caring for you by stringing together various incidents.
Yes.
He just put everyday things together.
Yes.
Everyday decisions we make. Mm-hmm. Everyday things that happen in our world. Things you would never would think would be God. But he has the ability to string them all together.
Yes.
Because he's sovereign. And in control of everything.
Yes.
And see, I finally got the poster. And I wanted to look at this because, now this represents the hand of God. And I got it on a chess piece. Now, if you're not a chess player, that's the queen.
That's the queen, yeah.
Because the queen, this book is about Esther, so we're going to talk about the queen a little bit later. Not so much today, we're talking about a different queen today.
Right.
But listen, what I'm trying to say is just like a good chess player.
Come on now.
A good chess player may make a move with a pawn that seems inconsequential. But a good chess player thinks so far ahead.
Come on now.
Because he realized each move could be, he can move 30 and 40 different ways. And a good chess player thinks so. He already is thinking about, okay, I'm going to make this move, and he makes this move, okay, this move. If he does this, I'm going to. So he's thinking about all, when he makes his first move, he's thinking about all the moves you could possibly make. But God, being omniscient and knowing everything,
right,
he already knows every move that the enemy is going to make. And when the enemy says check, which means your king's in danger, God can always work it out and say checkmate.
Right.
I'm just going to throw this in earlier. Because the most powerful piece on the chessboard is the queen.
It's true. Amen. It's true.
She can move in all directions. She can move unlimited square, diagonally, straightforward. She can move to the side. She's the most powerful player on the chessboard is the queen.
Right. Amen.
And she's there to protect
the king.
Right. Amen.
Well, there's a queen in this book of Esther. And she's there to protect the king.
All right.
And she's not, I'm not talking about a king I have to worship. I'm talking about the king of kings.
Right.
And the Lord of lords.
Right.
Who was promised to become and through the Jewish race as the seed of Abraham.
All right.
And in the book of Esther, I told you before, the whole Jewish nation is being threatened with annihilation.
Uh-huh.
But God uses the queen to save the king.
Yeah.
Kingly line that God had promised that he was coming through. Listen, so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Now look, I want to entitle today's little lesson, Ahasuerus' Leader Slip.
Leader slip.
That wasn't a slip of the tongue. That's
all
what
right.
I meant.
All right.
I have to wear this. Leader slip.
Because
what he did wasn't leadership.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was leader slip.
It was leader slip. Yeah.
Oh, y'all with me?
Yeah.
He slipped and failed to be the leader that God created him to be. When a leader slips, You'll be less than the leader that God has designed you to be. But you're going to see when it's all over. God even uses Ahasuerus' leadership. Because God had already knew. He already saw that move early. Let's look at three things quickly. First, I want to look at Ahasuerus' show. Because that's why he had brought all of his leaders in. He was going to put on a show for them. Now, two praise in the days of Ahasuerus and Ahasuerus who reigned in India over the 127,000. In those days, King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne, which was at the city of Susa. There he reigned, gave banquets for all the princes, attendants, and army officers, Persian media, nobles, and princes, and provinces being in his presence. And he displayed, this way, and he displayed the riches of his royal glory. Y'all, look at all this I got. Look at him. Look, I brought y'all up here so y'all can see the kind of king that I am. I'm just not any kind of ordinary king. I'm somebody. I'm in charge of 127 provinces. I'm some kind of king. And over there, they estimated he was over 50 million people. He had gained leadership. And he showed them the splendor of his great majesty for 100. He had so much to show him, it took 180 days. I want y'all to see all. You ain't seen nothing. Come on. Let me show you this. Let me show you this over here. And look at this. Ain't that? And look at that. And look at this room right here in my palace. And look at how many horses I got. And look at my chariots over there. And he had a thing that was showing them all. He was putting on a show. He was putting on a show. And when these days were completed, he gave the banquet that 7 days for all the people who were present and city of Susa, from the greatest to the least in the court of the garden of the kings. Pastor, he showed them all he had. Now listen. And they were feasting and partying and drinking. And he said, you know, after 180 days, then he had a party for the people that helped him to show up all the stuff. The workers, they got in on the party too, so from the greatest to the least. And he said that he's still showing off. But he said everybody had a different cook.
Right.
They wanted a lot. So your cup was specially designed.
Yeah.
You got 400-500 people and everybody got a different design cook.
Wow.
He got all the colors up and all. It was just, man. And he said, hey, right, he didn't say, you know, this round on me. He said, drink what you want to drink.
Yeah.
You got the souvenir cup. And you know how some people are. And they say, hey, they begin to drink as much as they wanted to drink. And then, and he was drinking with them.
Yeah.
And I told you, I don't want to speak, because I already told you about this in my prologue. This, his leadership was caused by his leadership. That's the Bible. His leadership was caused by his leadership. He kept sipping. And sipping until the Bible said he was just very good. And they said, boy, and he said, shh. You know how it is when you're drinking.
Yeah.
You get to brag.
Yeah.
Brag, and sometimes you just really be lying. But half of what you're talking about is not really true.
Yeah.
But then he got to brag, and man, y'all ought to see my wife. Woo! Man, you saw her!
Yeah,
right. Listen, man. Come on, she can't be all that. Need that drink.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you. I know, see, the women come with cuss me if we don't drink together. Women with the women. They back with it. We got our back with it. But tell you what. I'm the king. I don't have to do what the cousin say. So y'all want to see? He said, so he's sick. Somebody said, go get back. I want them to see what I got. They don't believe she that fine. They don't believe she that pretty. But I'm going to show them. Tell her to dress up, put on a crown. Now some people, I'm not saying this is true. But some people say, well, the reason, maybe he told her to just put a crown on him. But I'm not going to go that far. But summon her into the room. Summon her. And Vashti said no. Listen here. The first thing I want to say, where there was a leadership, is because a leader is there for the interest of the people. The people are not there for the interest of the leader.
Amen.
Amen.
He was using the people to make himself look great. He didn't have the people's interest at heart. He had his own interest at heart. Be sure when you're leading leaders that it's always about the people you're leading and not about you. God did not put us in places of leadership so we can show off what God has done for us. People see what God's going to bless us, but they're not here. You got to follow Jesus' example. I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. It's not about me. You don't sacrifice the people for your good. You sacrifice yourself for the people. Love. Make the sacrifice. But here he comes and says, bring. And she said no. So the first thing, the first leadership was when he put on the show. Mm-hmm. Now I have to work the show. Now it's Vashti's no.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No, I ain't coming in there. Now it's thought of because it was so late. One reason it was inappropriate, some commentators said, because it was so late in the party that when they got, you know, at this point, the only women that would probably come in at this point, I mean, hope to say it that way, would be concubines and prostitutes.
Right.
And she's saying, wait a minute. I'm the queen.
Right.
She knew who she was. You got to know who you are. She said, I'm of noble birth. Because my grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar. And my father was baptized. And matter of fact, with baptized, you remember, you know what Daniel, when the hand came right on the wall?
Uh-huh.
He said, baptized, you ain't got long left.
Right.
You keep away in the balances. And that same night, the Medo-Persian came in and took over. Well, it said that when Darius sat on the throne after Belshazzar was removed, that the little baby, Vashti, crawled up in the lap because he thought her daddy was on the throne like he had always been on the throne. And Darius fell so little to child, he gave it to his son. Arthur Ahasuerus, Xerxes, gave it to him to be his wife. So she was a noble person. She wasn't just no anybody. She had noble blood. She knew she had noble blood, and she was the queen. He said, you expect me to come in? It was devaluing, degrading.
Right.
In detriment, I'm not going. No, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Because it was a leadership, because leaders are supposed to add value, not devalue. Really, it always make you feel more valuable. Show you how valuable you are. They don't make you feel devalued. She said, no, I'm not coming. Now, not only did his sipping cause problems, but you see, he already had an anger problem.
Right.
Yeah, he had an anger problem.
Yes,
they were building a bridge. And I'm going to give you all the details, all the names. But they were building a bridge for them to cross and walk. And he had 300 men, they built the bridge. And just a small bridge across. And then the waves and so on came, the waves, and destroyed the bridge. Mm-hmm. Well, old crazy has arrived with his bad temper. He had a bad temper. Mm-hmm. And it said he got a stick, went out in the waves, and started beating the waves.
Yeah.
Because the waves had knocked down his bridge. Beating the water because he upset with the storm in the bridge, and then after that he had the 300 men that had been to the bridge because they didn't build what enough to be here. He had a bad temper. Now anytime you put a person with an alcohol problem and a bad temper problem.
That's real.
And you put them together.
That's real.
Right.
So when she said no, rather than valuing her as a person, she said, no, I'm not going to be devalued. What he should have respected, he rejected. Because she should have been respected.
Amen.
But she was rejected. He said, no, he has got upset. That's all that about. Well, she just got upset. He has got upset because she said no. You are, anytime you got a woman that says no, you got a good woman.
Amen.
Because you don't want a woman always saying yes. Well, she's not only saying yes to you. Boy, I'm sad to witness this. She's not only
walk heaven.
Amen.
She's not only saying yes to you. She may be saying,
come on, look out.
When she says no, that means she has some value about herself. She has some respect for herself.
Right.
If she don't have to say yes all the time, there's something she believes in and cherishes so strongly that she said no.
Amen.
What woman say?
Amen.
Yes. Because like I said, if you say yes all the time to you. Most men want to marry a no woman. Y'all ain't being truthful. Y'all ain't being truthful with me. You want to marry somebody that ain't been with nobody else. You want to marry somebody that always says no. But you want to say yes to you. And you want them to say yes before marriage. But you ought to respect the fact that they say no. Women, it's good to be a no woman.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because yes woman don't always make it to the altar.
That's real. That's real.
Oh, yeah, Pastor, you don't go to all that. I'm just trying to say, no man, sometimes no makes you more valuable in his eyes because he know he got somebody with some status and some character. breakers to somebody that can take a stand. Not gonna be able to do it. He got upset, threw his little fit. Cause she done, not only now she done embarrassed him.
His temper tantrum, yeah.
Said, oh, wait a minute. It's really bad now. Cause she done embarrassed him in front of his boss.
Yeah.
If she can make it, if she can sit, you tell him I'm sick. Well, now she was sitting back there, no. And it's, the no is.
No.
You supposed to be a king of 127 prophets. And you can't even control your. Okay, now wait a minute. This is another thing. Yeah. This is not in that scripture. But in between chapter 1 and chapter 2, most scholars believe he went to war. He went to war. And he had like, they say to me, but they don't think he had a million, maybe 100, 150,000 men fighting against 7,000 of the Greeks. You remember when I'm talking about the beast? I told you Babylon was the head.
Right.
And me, the Persian, was the chest, you know, iron. Uh-huh. And then the Greeks came in. The Greeks were next. They were already getting strong. Right. So they were going to go fight the Greeks. And there was a little strip. And the Greeks were ready for them when they came. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get through the little strip. Because right. the Greeks were strong fighters because they were well trained, maybe.
Right.
They said the Greeks were so well trained that it would take 10 Persians to handle one Greek.
Right.
I can see because they had prepared. So the problem is, Ahasuerus was having a party.
Right.
While the Greeks were having preparation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here they go to fight. One day, 180 days. They should have been strategizing. They should have been preparing to fight them. But they just having a party, having a good time. Now they go to war.
Right.
And they can't make through this little strip. Because the fighters are hauling them off. But you already found the one because you had a traitor.
Uh-huh.
The Greeks had a traitor. Say, hey, you know, it's some shepherds. You don't know this, but there's another little way that the shepherds go. And if you take that one, so they went around. And they won the battle. Mm-hmm. And that's when he comes back. So, that's why I call the leadership, because he didn't even have his people prepared to fight. Didn't have them prepared to fight. And then he goes in to Mimi King. But, I mean, this is right after this. Before the war. Mimi King wanted his advice. He tried to say, hey, what am I going to do, y'all? She said, no. You over 127 people. Remember, Captain, now listen here. This is what you will have to do.
Oh, very good advice.
She got to go.
Okay.
Three things. Y'all see the three things? Y'all see a Hassel Rising show?
Yeah.
And then y'all see Best Snow.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Captain, she got to go. You gotta get rid of her. Because if you let her stay,
right.
All the other women,
uh-huh. Yeah.
You ain't gonna.
Yeah.
When they hold back, they'll do something. They don't get to talking bad.
Right.
And they don't wanna follow their leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to make an example. Out of that. Third leadership problem is that you don't want people, as a leader, you don't want people to follow you because of your position.
Amen.
I don't want you to follow me just because I'm her husband. I want her, a good leader, want people to follow them because of their personhood.
Right.
Because you can hold a position. In positional leadership, they'll follow you when they're around. But when you go.
All right.
But when a person follows you out of personhood, they follow you because of the character.
Right.
They see
right.
You got their best interest at home.
Right.
It's your total personhood. Yeah. It's not because you got a pastor, a deacon, a supervisor, or a manager. They don't follow you. They follow you because they know you got the team's best interest.
Right.
David was that kind of leader. David so impressed his man. Here he was on the battlefield, and David is joking. He was talking about the enemy. He says, "Well, you're not sure we got to give me some wine over there at the enemy territory." But his man had so much respect, they went into enemy territory.
Right.
To bring back water
for
David. Mm-hmm. Not because he was king, because he wasn't king that time, but even the position. But it was his person. It was the kind of person. Mm-hmm. You want people to follow you because of the kind of person you are.
Amen.
Do you have integrity? Do you have loyalty?
Amen.
The kind of person you are. Do you have things that are all about you? Do you take all the credit or do you share credit? Or do you take no credit? Are you serving? Or are you exploiting? Many can't say, "Hey, we want them to respect the position." That's good. Everybody needs to respect the position. But that's not the best kind of leadership. The best kind is when they respect the person.
Right.
Even when the person don't have a position. There's something so, you see a greatness, you see a heart, you see a kindness, you see a love, you see a servanthood. You see them trying to build a team. They don't let you stay where you are, but they're constantly putting you in positions to win. And you can see that this person is really taking interest in me, and they're willing to make sacrifices so I can get up and go ahead. And you follow the person, not the possession.
Right.
I don't have to say I'm pastor, but if I live right, if I treat you right, if I serve you right, if I put in the work to feed you right. And I'm there for you when I need to be there for you. Then you say, "We don't follow him because he's bad. We follow him because of the kind of person that he is."
Right. Amen.
Yes. So, after I had to rise his show, and after Vashti's Noah. And after Mimican, she got to go. God strained all three of those incidents together because he works everything together for good. He's working everything together for good. God is moving of the enemy, and God is already ahead for us. So when chapter 2 opens, the door opens for the queen.
Right.
To move in position.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
The door will come. Now he said, "We're looking for a new queen."
Yeah.
The door has opened for Esther to move in position. All right, let me close this first. I remember one point in time, I wasn't trying to find no job, really. I had a job and I was laid off. I was in serious and I got laid off in serious. But they told me you got to put in some applications to get you unemployed.
Right.
I knew I was going back to serious. So I was out there waiting for it. I was going to take a vacation.
Right.
And get more unemployed.
Yeah.
Until they called me back. Because, you know, I feel like I paid all that money in. I need to get some money out of it.
Right.
So I went in and filled out an application. Not, I didn't really want the job. And the people called me to the job. And they hired me for the job. And I got on the job, and the other guy, one of the guys working with him, graduated. He said, you know, before they hired you, it was another guy that came in before you. And the supervisor hired him. But he said, he didn't come back.
Wow.
He didn't come back. I didn't know it. Long minute after he didn't come back. Well, you know, I told y'all. I said, he didn't come back. And what happened was, I stayed at that same job 23 years.
Okay.
And I quit the serious job. Matter of fact, serious got closed down. About 5 or 10 years later.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was still at the job. And it was a job that gave me so much freedom that when there was a funeral down here, I could be here. When we had a revival, I could be here. Whatever church needed me to do, I could be here.
Because you had to. Gotcha.
And I didn't even want the job. Amen. If somebody had that job, we didn't let this show back up. And I'm at the job 23 years.
Yeah.
Amen.
Starting at 85, moving on. I'm trying to show you how to go.
Yeah.
Y'all know when we was building this old church?
Yeah.
Yeah. And after we got the shell built, we had a big bill for that shell. And we were trying to think, okay, now we got a big shell, but we ain't got nothing in. Got a little money left. I'm trying to tell you, God, you can see God's fingerprints.
Yeah.
And you look at it.
Yeah.
We had that big shell, nothing, but you know all of a sudden. Willie Roy, as always happened, him and them trucks. He can't keep a truck running for nothing anymore. Willie Roy put that truck in the shop, they get it fixed, and it never came back out. But we did that again, and he was there buzzing and hard. And I told my truck up. And my kids were all those something. But then I told my truck up. And he was losing money.
Yeah.
Cause you know he had his own business, had his own truck, and he lost his truck. You know when he lost that truck? He came up to this church.
Right, freedom. Come on. Okay.
Because he didn't have nothing else to do.
Right. Providence.
And he began to bring people in and help them build that car. Because like I said, we had a shell.
Yeah.
We didn't have no room. He started building them rooms over there. Building that attic and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You see over there on the other side, Willie Roy, J.C., and other people came in to help.
Yeah.
Heard people out of the community. Amen. Carlton was here. They're all here. Because when the run started out, because the truck broke down.
Yeah.
He was upset. He wasn't impressed.
Right.
But God can use a... Won't he use a broke down truck? Amen.
Yeah.
He did hundreds of thousands, not thousands of dollars worth. You know what I mean? With these brand professionals because he kind of messed it up. And soon, because he was taking bed, but it wasn't working. And so we need to bring somebody that knows something about tape. And soon as we bought somebody in and know, we're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Won't God do things?
Yeah.
And we can look back on that and see what God has done.
And
then he sent generous people to the congregation.
Right.
Every time we ran out of money, he and this person, well, you know, they give as well, you know, I'm having a little difficult. It's my financial way to contain. I can't give any money to God to send somebody else.
Amen.
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 Every time. Amen.
Over and over. And then you have the builders, they just happen to be in worldly. And I was passing out, because we already had got some of the Southern Baptists, but they wouldn't do what we wanted to do. They said, well, we don't do that. But we were passing by the vacation, the volunteer Christian building. I'm passing by, I'm on my way back. I said, where do I go up there? So they up there at the Methodist Church. And when I went up there, and they came, we got faith. Because
yeah.
A lot of the things you're supposed to do in order to get them to help, we didn't have to do it. It's all right, we believe in y'all.
Amen.
And they just came on and began to work.
Awesome.
I'm talking about when God gave you faith. I'm trying to tell y'all, man, the reason why we're here where we are today, because we got
faith.
Oh, I wish I had a word about that. God was bringing things out.
Yes.
Wasn't no big miracle. But he was providence.
Yes.
We just look back on that and say, oh yeah, that worked out. Yeah, okay, we can see that.
All right.
It's big air conditioning we got there that sometimes makes y'all put some coke on. Then we'll get rid of cold. That was in my car. He had that in the backyard. He said, y'all want an air conditioning out there? Y'all want an air conditioning out there? Cheap.
Yes, sir.
And this is everything that should have cost $8,000 to $10,000. We got a couple thousand dollars.
Yes,
so
sir.
God was hooking us up all this.
Yes,
God was hooking us up. We were getting all kinds of deals.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
All kinds of deals. We got to put the air conditioning in. He just told us mainly for his workers' labor.
Amen.
Yeah.
But now people, they go see the friend of mine.
Amen.
Say, I'm going to put it in. I'm going to pay for the stuff. So pay for my people's labor.
Amen.
Now you need the rest of the free.
Amen. Yes. Providence.
Blood and common blood. They always bless us.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
You see how many blessings we are.
Amen.
And then the people we volunteered, they came in, they started working on the building. That was good enough. But then they left $1,000.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. They worked and then left $1,000 behind.
Wow.
And offering for it.
Wow. Amen. Wow. Amen.
Then Grand Memorial Day was $1,000.
Right.
Thank you,
Father.
Thank you,
man.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're free.
And then we got $1,000 rolls back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Andrew Chow. Mm-hmm. We wanted because they came over for us and they gave us $1,000
check.
Wow.
Thank you,
God.
Dear Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God will provide for us.
Yes.
You know, when we first started the project, we said, God, we want to do it debt free.
Yeah.
Yes.
Money. And God blessed us all the way.
Yes.
All
my God.
The way around.
Yes.
Now, because we don't have no debt, because we don't have no mortgage, because we're able to give back to the community.
Right.
That's why we give. That's why we have the Coleman blessing. That's why we work on the food drive. That's why we do everything we do in the community. Because God freed us up. We were debt-free, debt-free to be free. And they thought we'd be free, we can do things for our community. But it was God all in that thing. I ain't told you the whole story. I just gave you a few things.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. That's a shout.
Can you imagine? I was there when I was 40 or 50 people.
Exactly.
You know, doing that kind. You know, we had once. This is Sunday morning offering. This one Sunday morning, like 20,000.
Wow.
Yes.
And brought us here today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Providential care.
Yes.
We're not here by accident.
Yes. Right. Right.
Yes.
I'm going to let David talk about it. Hopefully, he'll talk about it this evening. Because this evening, we're talking about a church that's here for such a time as this.
Yes.
We're not here by accident.
Yes, sir.
And God did all that so we could be here, then he got a purpose for us as a church.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, like he opened the door for Esther, he's opened the door for Bethsaida.
Yes.
Over and over again. We've just been blessed beyond recognition.
Yes. Right.
our best.
Amen.
We've been too blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Say, God, we can't do. God, whatever you want us to do, here we are.
Yeah.
You done did it before.
Yes.
I know you can do it again. Anybody
yeah.
help me, you can do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can continue to do it again. Whatever dream, whatever aspiration that he put forward, we know that he can do it. He did it before. God can.
Yeah.
He can do it again.
Yes, sir.
He can do it again.
Amen.
And through Azariah's leader's slip, God is opening the door for Esther to take her place.
Yeah.
Because she's going to have a job to do later on.
Amen.
He's putting the queen. The hand of God is moving his queen in place.
Yes, sir.
Because the queen is a powerful weapon.
Yes.
In protecting the king.
Yes.
Somebody, come on, sister.
Jesus.
Amen.
That's good. That's good.
Oh yeah, we come a long way.
Yeah.
And we don't just sing that song. We,
right.
we
right.
come a long way. Sometimes, and so, sometimes we go uphill,
yeah.
But we made it.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord.
Our people are on our side.
Yeah.
The Lord is on our side.
Thank you, Lord.
We are the Savior.
Thank you, Lord God.
Yes,
it is.
Hallelujah. understand what he's done for our church.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need this story.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you the same God that made a way for us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. In your life.
Yes, Lord.
In your finances.
Yes, Lord.
In your dream God gave you.
Yes,
Lord. In what God is calling you to do.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you, he's able to open doors.
Yes, Lord.
Bring favor and grace out of nowhere.
Yes,
God. Just a pound. Don't give up on God, but he has given up on you.
Yes.
Even when you don't deserve it. Yeah. It's going to be all right.
Yeah,
because
your grace is sufficient.
It's
going to
be all right.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Listen.